We're talking today with Dr. Randy Bowman, of course, our state cotton specialist. And Randy, we're coming in home the home stretch of this 2017 cotton crop. Give me kind of an overview of what you see here in 17 in the state of Oklahoma.
Wow, Ron, I tell you, it's just been a huge turnaround from the drought years. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I look back at, 11, 12, 13, and those were some really, really tough years. But, recently what we've seen is a uptick in acres, and we've been blessed by the good Lord with a lot of good rain across those acres, and we've had great irrigation capacity to help on our irrigated fields. And quite honestly, if we believe the NASS report that came out on September 11th, I was expecting this somewhat, but my jaw did drop. I mean, I knew NASS was well under what we actually planted and what was standing out there with their August report. Of course, I do visit a lot with other folks in the industry, and we knew that there was somewhere south of 600,000 probably. And I think NASS finally woke up and put us at 580 planted and I believe 555 standing. And they put a very substantial yield on it. It's not a record yield, but it's a little bit above what we normally see out there. But we've had a good year in terms of rain and even the whole distribution of that rain. But they put us at, I think, 846 or so, 848, something like that. And when you do the math on that, we end up with a 980,000 bale crop. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about this, and, we actually have about there's 15 standing gins, I believe, in the state that's controlled by 13 entities. We've got a couple in Harmon County that are independents. And I'm not sure if both of those are going to run this year. And then, we had the El Dorado Co-op bought out Martha. So that's kind of running under one umbrella. But still, both of those plants will be processing cotton this year. So I guess at the end of the day, it's kind of a scary number when we think about it. We've got the most acres, both planted and standing at this time, that we've had since, I believe, 1981, if I'm not mistaken. It's either 81 or 82. And if we do indeed make that estimate that they put us at with that September 11th report, that 980,000 bales is the largest crop produced in the state based on historic NASS data since 1933. So it's just, that's two generations.
Mm-hmm. And cotton was a lot different then.
Yes, and yeah, absolutely. And actually, that crop, if I remember right, it came in at about 1.3 million bales, and it came off of 2.6 million acres. Mm-hmm. So, historically, we have actually planted a lot of cotton acres across the state, and for various reasons, farm economy, farm programs, you might say commodity competition with prices. We kind of evolved into a different system that didn't include a lot of cotton, but certainly the last couple of years we've had a lot of guys that's done very well with cotton. I will tell you, it's really easy to go back into the database and look and see, there's a lot of misery years too. So we need to really take the good years and with a significant amount of appreciation. And it's like I tell a lot of people, even though we have this big crop out there, we're a long way from having it in the bale. And that huge crop is going to challenge our harvesting infrastructure, number one. And then after we get it harvested, then it's going to challenge our ginning infrastructure. I know that a lot of gins are getting braced for this big event that is getting ready to come their way. And hopefully we can wade through this okay. Of course, the last thing we need is to have an extended harvest, wet fall, wet winter, those type things that can actually have guys go through a pretty significant amount of stress. If we get our modules wet, they are not going to process very well. So we're trying to tell growers at all of our meetings, you guys need to make sure you put these modules, get those modules placed where you don't typically have any flooding, because if we happen to get into, heaven forbid, 10-inch rainfall type events, we don't want those modules sitting where that water can come up and wick up through the bottom. And, of course, the round modules with the plastic wrap, those tend to weather a lot of these type of events better than the conventional modules. And those module covers, we really need to do a good job of making sure we get those tied down on those modules. First of all, we need to start, and John Wanner is actually talking about that in this meeting right now, we need to make sure we get a good design in our mind and target for what we want those modules to look like. We want them crowned both across the middle, lengthwise, and also crowned in the center. And then get a good cover on that hopefully is not an old one that might have sat out on a module for 4 months after the 2016 season. So that becomes important. And quite honestly, if we have a bunch of wind events and these module covers get shredded, it's probably going to behoove us to think seriously about getting those replaced. Because it's at some gens, these modules are going to be sitting in the field for quite some time. So it's just a great year.
So, I know that there's been some worry about heat units at the end of the growing season. We're 90 degrees today. You feel like we're probably going to be able to finish this season pretty well?
Well, that's been something that's been a bit concerning to me. At Altus, I track it for Altus because it's easy for me to do, and I've got a historic data set that I can go back and look at normal type temperatures, the 30-year normals that you see on TV that the weather guys report, and then I've calculated the heat units associated with that normal data. And so pretty much May, June, and July were all very, very close to normal. We hit August, we ended up being about 20% below normal. The good news is our low temperatures were not too far off where they needed to be, but our daytime highs were quite a bit cooler than what we would normally see. Now, we went through the same thing last year. It wasn't to the same degree that we saw in 17. In 16, we were about 10% below normal in August, but we still had a reduced evapotranspiration rate in the crop because of those cooler daytime highs. But and as long as we're hitting in the upper 80s, we're probably not too far off of cotton being able to reach its maximum photosynthetic rate. So maybe not so much of a loss there. But in general, we did have a lot of late planted cotton, especially some dry land. And some of that cotton is going to have some very, very high yield potential. Now, of course, over the last couple of weeks, we've had some pretty significant moisture stress in a lot of those fields, and so that yield has adjusted somewhat. But I'm hoping that we're going to end up with a pretty good run between now and the time that our heat units normally run out, basically go to zero sometime around October 22nd at Altus. But September, again, it was a, I don't know, I think I ran those numbers last night. We got a cheat sheet somewhere, but I believe it was about 18-19% cooler than normal. So that cool month of August has actually spilled on over into September. One of our big concerns is that we don't get any what I call maturity busting events, and that can be when temperatures get maybe in the upper 30s, perhaps somewhere around 40 degrees. That tends to shut the fiber development apparatus down, and we, even though it may warm back up into the 90s, we may not actually see that much of an improvement in maturity later on. So we're kind of optimistic that we won't go there. The last couple of years we've been very fortunate, and we've had a really good run of end-of-season weather, which really has helped drive a lot of record yields for folks.
One last question. I know that you came into Oklahoma from Texas. You've kind of, as you mentioned, you went through some of these early years that were pretty tough, a real core of producers. You've got a lot more people growing cotton, fairly new to cotton or have come back to cotton. How has that made your job a little bit different this year?
Well, I get a lot of questions from growers. Sometimes it might be a little bit late. Cotton is not a grain crop. It's a beast of its own. It is a perennial plant that actually believes it's going to be here next year. And so it behaves kind of differently than a lot of other broadleaf type crops. But we get a lot of calls from growers, especially on, weed control. With the wet growing season, a lot of interest in plant growth regulators and how with these newer varieties that tend to be a little bit more growthy, and that extra growth potential typically drives yield. And out of that, we're also getting basically record fiber quality. With the varieties that we're planting today, they tend to want to grow, especially if we have high fertility and good moisture conditions. And that's what we had over a large part of the dryland area. So a lot of growers woke up in July saying, hey, this cotton's getting big. And we did everything we could to basically help control that growth. But we're going to have a lot of growthy cotton this year. And it's just a result result of the varieties, the fertility, and the excellent rainfall that we had during that period of time. And again, like I said just a few minutes ago, the last couple of weeks, we've seen quite a bit of stress show up in a lot of these dryland fields. So I think to a certain degree that's probably good. It's going to help adjust the yield and hopefully improve maturity potential down the road. But, you know, the growers are – there's a lot of new ones out there, and I wanted to always tell these guys, you know, we have the Red River Crops Conference. We've been doing this now for, I don't know, what, 5 or 6 years. It's going to be back in Altus, and the cotton day is January 17th. So I tell producers, if you don't make any other cotton meetings during the growing season, you need to try to get here for this one, because we try to bring in some good speakers from out of state that have expertise in areas that you know, we're kind of thin in at Oklahoma State right now. And so I think that I can't say enough to try to get those guys out. They can network. They can meet other producers. They can meet other people, other folks from other institutions. And I think one of the things that's the take-home lesson for a lot of growers this year is that you really, really need to put your shadow in that cotton field. And it's, like I said earlier, it's not a grain crop. And it's really more of a culture than it is a production system, because you have to have the discipline to go look at that crop almost on a weekly basis. And really, I don't think we have enough crop consultants to make all that happen, but I know we have a lot out there, and it seems like we might be getting more and more all the time, but having a crop consultant on your team is always a really, really good decision.
Right. So one last question. How broadly have we kind of dispersed cotton production? I know obviously that southwest set of counties is still at the core of what we do, but are we going all the way pretty well to the state line?
Yeah, in all directions, Ron. I tell you, we've got more cotton acres up in the panhandle than we've had. Part of that's driven, and a lot of our new acres is quite honestly driven by the Enlist technology that imparts the 2,4-D tolerance. We've got more cotton in the southeast, I think, this year. We've got more cotton in north central Oklahoma and, you know, right across the Kansas line. The South Kansas cotton producers up there at Anthony and Winfield, that gin group, they actually pull a lot of that cotton from north central Oklahoma up into Kansas for ginning. And so I would say that the bulk of the acres, though, I actually kind of did some calculations on that looking at the boll weevil eradication foundation planted acres, FSA certified acres that they have on their website. And you can go in and kind of grab that data and manipulate it around. But there's about 10 counties where the bulk of the new acres were concentrated. And those 10 counties are our more or less our traditional cotton counties. Jackson County went way up. Tillman County went way up. Greer County went way up. Kiowa County went way up. So it's not like we're putting a large number of acres in new areas, but we are in those other areas that are what I'm calling the non-traditional cotton counties. Those acres are going up. And I think that there's going to be a lot of people looking at this crop this year and looking at the harvesting situation and looking at the ginning situation, and they may or may not decide that might be something that they want to pursue in 2018. I certainly believe that our acres could go up again, though. I think it's very possible. We're going to see a lot more varieties available from industry that are both dicamba tolerant and 2,4-D tolerant, and the availability of those 2,4-D tolerant varieties that actually have a better fit than some of the ones that they released this year here in Oklahoma is going to be important to drive some of that.